Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our penultimate discussion on the seven sayings of the cross. We're looking at Jesus's declaration that it is finished, even though that's actually not the last thing he says. So our series isn't finished, but important words for us to consider. They actually follow on the heels of what we considered yesterday, which had been last week, but yesterday. From John 19, it's just one continual passage in full of one, starting in verse 28. So I'll begin there. We're going to hear what we heard yesterday, but then we'll also read through verse 30, which is today's passage. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, so it anticipates the saying today. Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scriptures, "I thirst." And a jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. Verse 30, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. It is finished. That's our consideration today. How are you at finishing things? I know that's my problem. I'm a great starter. Maybe some of you aren't good starters. No issue there for me. I'm a great starter. I'm just not as good of a finisher. The half-painted baseboards in our living room attest to that fact, which I began about a month ago. So what about you? I imagine some of you share that struggle. Do you have half folded laundry in your bedroom ever, or half finished projects around the house, forms that you began to fill out, applications that you began to fill out that you never finished? Well, we praise God that Jesus Christ finishes what he begins. We praise God for that he finishes what he begins, which is what he says from the cross. It is finished. And then he dies. So, what was finished? What was Jesus referring to? Jesus's agony on the cross was certainly finished. He had neared the completion, the end of his earthly suffering, and especially in those last few hours, physical pain. But with the completion of his pain, something else was finished, and that was the work necessary to secure our redemption. Jesus dies so life can begin for us. Jesus finishes redemption so that eternity and bliss and happiness begins for us. Can you imagine if salvation was a project that you and I had to complete on our own? Can you imagine if God's favor was something you had to earn? Can you imagine if heaven was a destination that you had to arrive at entirely on your own? We couldn't do it, but Christ can, and he does do it for us. Because Christ is the great finisher, because he accomplishes the work, because he says it is finished, that means you and I can rest. We can rest. The Christian gospel is, in one sense, the announcement that it's time to rest. It's time to relax. The book of Hebrews doesn't give us a account of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but in its opening verses, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it does say something interesting about what it means for Jesus to have finished the work of redeeming us from sin. This is actually verse 3. It says, after making purification for sins, after doing this, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus sat down. And you know the feeling of needing to sit down, where you just kind of think or say, in this exasperated way, I just need to sit down. I just need to kick up my feet. You've been on your legs all day. You've been walking around at work, and you just need a break to sit and to kick your feet back. when we read that Jesus sat down, it's after the purification of sins. It's after his death for our transgression. After redemption was accomplished, he could sit. The reason that he can sit down is because he completed his task. He completed his work. And so he can be seated. So rest is something that is for people who have completed their work. You know that feeling of maybe you didn't do your homework as diligently as you should have, or your chores, or your there's just a lot of work coming in from the office, so you have to stay up late. You can't go to bed. You can't get your rest until the work is done. Rest is for those who finish their work. But the wonderful news of the gospel is that that rest is something that Jesus gives us now. We don't need to earn it like he did. We don't need to finish our work like finish a work like he did. We receive that rest by faith. We, unlike Jesus, who works, 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 then sits, we begin from a seated position. We begin from a seated position. The Westminster Shorter Catechism defines faith as receiving and resting in Jesus Christ alone. I think that's one of the best definitions of faith out there. What a perfect way to summarize what it means to be a Christian. It's to rest in Jesus, who made rest a possibility in the first place. The psalmist is spot on when it says that when he says that God gives to his beloved sleep. He gives us sleep because he gave his beloved son death. That's an amazing thought, and one that I hope will fill your hearts with devotion and adoration and praise and thanksgiving, especially this Lenten season. That need for rest, it can't be overestimated. We are wired for works righteousness. By nature, we are all law. The law is natural to us. The gospel, though, comes outside of us. It's supernatural, not natural. It's not what we expect, and it's not what we would assume unless it was preached to us. We would not assume that we could rest unless somebody told us. It's not what we would believe unless it's preached to us over and over and over again. It's ironic that resting is about the easiest thing in the world in theory, but yet in reality, spiritually speaking, it's the hardest thing to do. We would rather work ourselves to death. Instead, we need to take up this word of rest from the cross. There's an old hymn that puts it like this: weary, working, burdened one, why do you toil so? Cease your doing, all was done long and long ago. Cast your deadly doing down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone, gloriously complete. And then this is the refrain: it is finished, yes, indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? It's all we need. It is finished tells us that we can rest. We can cease our striving because Jesus is sitting and we are seated with him in the heavenly places. I should add this as we close, that when Jesus said it's finished, he didn't mean that everything was finished. He even himself had things to do still, to be buried, to be raised again, to ascend, to come again in glory. He was finished with what it took to pay for our sins, but he's not finished with everything. And here's what I want to let you know this morning. One of the things he's not finished with is you. He's not finished with you. You're still a sinner, like me. We're still sinners. Today you have already sinned. You've already broken his law and broken his love. You have followed after your own desires instead of his demands. And so you feel right now, I know you do, you feel the burden of your fears, your lust, your anger, your pride, whatever it is, and you feel that frustration, or maybe even at times you feel like a despair, like Paul in Romans 7, the good to do I cannot do. Right? The spirit's willing, the flesh is weak. But I want you to take heart because Jesus isn't finished with you. You are a work in progress, but you're not a project that will ever be half done because it's not a work that you're doing. You are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus. And what Christ Jesus begins, he always finishes. All right, Paul says, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will see it and will bring it to completion. So when you hear Jesus speak from the cross, it is finished. He's speaking a word of what he has accomplished in redemption, but it's also a guarantee for us of the work of ongoing work of sanctification and the future work of glorification. It will be finished. That's all packed into that one little word. That line from the cross is three words in English, but it's even more succinct in the Greek. It's truly one word. Tetelestai. It is finished. It's actually a word that would be used in transactions, business transactions. If you bought something and you paid for it, the merchant would take the receipt and would write on it, tetelestai. You've paid for it. It's complete. The debt is done. Just that one word. And Charles Spurgeon said this: it would need all the other words that were ever spoken or ever could be spoken to explain this one word. It is altogether immeasurable. It is high. I cannot attain to it. And it is deep. I cannot fathom it. So let's begin that eternal work of reflecting on this one word, even today. So I hope that can be an encouragement to you on this Wednesday morning or whenever you're tuning in later on. Let's conclude with a prayer that requests this of God. Help me to repair to the cross. That means to go to the cross. Be crucified to the world by it, and in it find deepest humiliation. Motives to patience and self-denial, grace for active benevolence, faith to grasp eternal life, hope to lift up my head, love to bind me forever to him who died and then rose for me. May his shed blood make me more thankful for thy mercies, more humble under thy correction, more zealous in thy service, more watchful against temptation, more contented in my circumstances, and more useful to others. Amen. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you this weekend. Don't forget, tonight is prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. We'd love to see you there. Saturday, there's our scavenger hunt. Attend it. Do it with your family or help out if you can. And then, of course, we'll see you Sunday. And back here again for one last devotional next Wednesday. Bye-bye.